The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from the 22nd verse. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Since the 4th century, Christians have confessed, as we did today, and I look for the resurrection of the dead. They confess that against the religions and philosophies of the Roman world, which believed in an afterlife, but laughed at a resurrection. When Paul preached in Athens, they listened as he confessed creation out of nothing, as he confessed repentance, as he confessed judgment. But they laughed, they mocked, they scoffed when they heard of the resurrection of the dead. Still think that you look for the resurrection of the dead? The women in the text didn't. They looked for the dead. That's why they bought the spices. That's why they were at the tomb so early. They had to put those spices on that corpse of Jesus before any more decomposition could set in. They didn't look for an empty tomb. They didn't look for the resurrection of the dead. They looked for a dead Jesus. I don't look for the resurrection of the dead any more than the Marys did. I drive past cemeteries thinking of them as places of the dead, not as places of resurrection. I think of them as nothing but burial grounds, not remembering that cemetery is a word the Christians first used. It means sleeping place. Just as you look for the sleeping to awake, so they look for the resurrection of the dead. Not I. I look for the restoration of health. I look for renewed hope. I look for rejuvenation. I look for reborn enthusiasm. If I could find them, even one of them in Easter, well, that would be something we're celebrating. That would be something to come to church for. I look for the wrong things from Jesus, from Easter, from Christianity in general. I know they're wrong because Jesus called his disciples to self-denial, the cross, loss, tribulation, suffering, and death. Oh, and that's right, he called us to the resurrection of the dead. But I don't look for that because I'm not dead enough. I think Mary Magdalene was dead enough. She's the only person all four Gospels say went to the tomb on Easter. She is the one who came back to it after finding it empty. She was the one who first saw the risen Jesus. She was the one Jesus had cast 7 demons out of. 7 devils, even once cast out, leave a mark. I also think Peter was dead enough to look for the resurrection of the dead. How come? Because Jesus particularly wants the angel to tell the Marys to go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, since Thursday night, had been dying the coward's 1,000 deaths. Peter wished he were dead. Peter, sick to death with himself, was a prime candidate to be looking for the resurrection of the dead. Are you? I don't think so. You lack the sentence of death within yourself that goes with one who looks for the resurrection of the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, "We had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Nah, you don't have that death sentence. You still think you can be a better person than you have been in the past. You still think if given another chance, you can keep your temper better, trust God more, love your spouse deeper. There's no death sentence hanging over your head. Your sins, your failings, your mistakes aren't that serious. They're not that bad. It's not like you got 7 demons, maybe 1 or 2, but not 7. It's not like you denied your Lord 3 times, maybe once back in college or high school, but that's about it. You didn't come here looking for the resurrection of the dead. You came here looking for a resuscitation of optimism, the positive outlook you had yesterday when you were young. You came here looking for the positive outlook you had when you were happy or healthy. You're looking for a resuscitation of Annie's faith, that the sun's going to come back out tomorrow. You're here looking for the resuscitation of what Maureen McGovern believed. There's got to be a morning after where you got another chance. I say, I look for the resurrection of the dead, but I'm not really looking because I'm not dead enough. Oh, yes, I am. I just don't know it. When I was younger, I shot a hovering hummingbird clean through with a BB gun. It hung there in midair, looking very much alive, but it was already dead. A World War II sailor reports seeing his buddy running 5 full steps after an explosion had taken his head clean off. A regular feature of the TV show The Twilight Zone is the person who slowly comes to the realization that he's already dead. That's me. That's you. Wake up. You're dead. The event you feared all your life has already happened. Death dressed in black with a sharp sickle has already sliced clean through you. Commentator Andy Rooney said, "Death is a distant rumor to the young." I'm telling you, regardless of how young you are, it's not a rumor at all. And you're already dead. Like in the movies, all it takes is for the right circumstances to instantly age you, decay you, rot you, and dissolve you into the dust from which you were made. Actually, your death was concurrent with your conception. In sin were you and I conceived in our mother's womb, says Psalm 51. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins, says Paul. Paul says, in Adam all die. You can't put an asterisk next to the word all. It doesn't say all bad people die, all old people die, all unbelieving people die, but all die. What we have right here in the church right now is Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. The sin we inherited from our parents has broken out into our lives in a gazillion different ways has left us as dry bones. Right now, we still have the shape of bodies, but under God's judgment, we're nothing but brittle, dry skeletons. The true God, the triune God, the God that only Christians worship, sent His Son, His only beloved Son, His perfect Son, into the world to keep the 10 commandments that all break just by breathing, and to suffer His wrath against our sins and sinfulness. Jesus, too, looked for the resurrection of the dead, but first He went looking for death. First, he went looking for the violent tearing of the human soul from His holy body. First, He looked for the monster that haunts your dreams and stalks your thoughts. And He found him. Being true God in flesh and blood, death could not take Jesus' life. Being holy, He Himself had no debt of sin that death could demand that He pay. But He had your debt of sin, and He had your debt of sin, He had my debt of sin, and He had all of their debt of sin out there too. So to pay our debt, to satisfy God's wrath, Jesus gave up His life willingly. After suffering all the torments in place of all sinners of all time, He gave up His life to death. And though nobody on that first Easter was looking for the resurrection of the dead, Jesus rose. God the Father was satisfied that all sins were in fact paid for in full. So Jesus didn't need to keep on dying. And because the man Jesus was also true God, death had to spit Him out. Death has no hold over God. And where God goes, man goes in Jesus. Now, finish the rest of Paul's thought. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You have to read the second all the same way you do the first. And all die in Adam. All will be made alive in Christ. Therefore, all are to look for the resurrection of the dead. The grave is not a body eater. A sarcophagus is a stone coffin. Its root meaning is body eater because when people opened them old ones back up, they found no body. But Jesus will find every single body and raise it from the dust, from the ashes. So everyone, Everyone should look for the resurrection of the dead. Unless you're going to be a zombie. You heard me, zombie. All rise, but not all rise to life. All rise in the body, but not all rise in a glorified body. All live everlastingly, but not all live in everlasting life. Some live in everlasting death. All the graves, all the crypts, all the urns everywhere will, like the sea, give up their dead. An account of the 1889 Johnstown flash flood that killed over 2,000 people says this: the hands of the dead stuck out of the ruins, dead everywhere you went. Their arms stretched out above their heads, almost without exception. The last instinct of expiring humanity, grasping at a straw. That's how all will come forth from the graves, arms outstretched, looking for the resurrection of the dead. All will find the resurrection, but not all will find life. Only those who have been found by Jesus in water and word of holy baptism, only those whose baptism has joined to the death and life of Christ, only those who, as Paul says, have put on Jesus in baptism will find the resurrection of the dead that Jesus found and we're celebrating today. Only those who go into their graves with their sins put on Jesus, carried away by Jesus, separated from them by Jesus' forgiving word, only they can look for the resurrection of the dead that is glorious, better than anything this life knows or even dreams. You go into your grave clinging to what you have done, good or bad. You go into your grave promising you're going to do better. You go into your grave with excuses everyone else will believe. And you go looking for the resurrection of a zombie. Don't go that way. Go with the words of Jesus ringing in your ears. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Go with no promises to sin less, no excuses for not doing more. Go as dead as Peter and Mary were in their sins. Go as a sinner who claims no holiness, no goodness, but that of Christ. Go having eaten and drank the body and blood of Jesus for life everlasting. Die with Jesus' holy body and blood coursing through your unholy body and blood. And know that having been joined to Him, God the Father can no more leave you in the ground than He could His only beloved Son. Look for the resurrection of the dead. The Latin of the Creed has expectamus. Expect the resurrection of the dead. Expect the resurrection of every last person who ever died. Expect that those who die in Christ rise as He did. Without sin, without devil, without death, with them being only distant memories. Expect that your grave will be no more than a temporary resting place for your body. Expect, as author George MacDonald said, that a Christian goes into the grave as content as a tired child goes to bed. MacDonald compares a child hearing the sound of his toys being put away to the sound of his coffin settling on the earth and dirt falling on the lid. He says, it doesn't have the same hollow rattle within the coffin that it has at the edge of the grave. It sounds different in the ears of those whose mouths have been joyfully confessing, and I look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.